Off the Ball Rugby.
I just knew when I wasn't in top form, I never felt that because I was Irish out half, I was not allowed playing that game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Rugby.
I just knew when I wasn't in top form, I never felt that because I was Irish out half, I was not allowed playing that game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 59 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every Friday with analysis, race previews, tips, interviews, stories and the crack. If you want to listen for free each week, you can to the first part and the second part of the pod exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. And this week for members, we're going to focus on this weekend's domestic action at Ferry House in Punchestown, set to go ahead. We'll also get Johnny's charity bet. So subscribe now. Johnny, how are you?
I'm very well, JD. I'm delighted racing is back.
Yes, so am I. Now, Weatherby's off this weekend. Warwick is off across the way, but they've moved the big race at Weatherby to Foss last. There's all weather action. But it seems like I was out for a walk this morning, Friday morning, and it was much milder. I couldn't, you know, when you get the breath.
Yeah.
And the breath wasn't there. So I feel that Ferry House and Punchestown will be okay, which is great.
Yeah, and I suppose the significance of Dundalk this evening is just so important. I mean, I'd imagine that any sort of jumps meetings would have been under threat essentially all week. And the all-weather is just vital. And it was interesting, I think, you know, when ITV couldn't show any race, and was it last weekend, it was suggested that we need all-weather backup for meetings like this. But I'm definitely interested to find out from the bookmakers what turnover is like for Dundalk tonight, because I think there are a lot of sort of punting starved people at the moment who want to have a bet. And there's a good race at Dundalk tonight, but we've really cracking action at Punchestown and Ferry House. You almost feel that these horses were ready to run since Christmas. Dan and Joan Moore honoured in a really historic handicap at Ferry House, and cracking racing at Punchestown. We'll chat a lot about Cheltenham towards the end of the show as well, JD. Some interesting news regarding Cheltenham during the week. Horses not taking their chance on that.
Yeah, what I did, because I thought everything would be off, Johnny. So what I did was this week I went through all the market to see what the market moves might be for the big races in Cheltenham. So we might just give an overview of the Cheltenham Festival now. What it's the 10th of January as we record this. So who's fancied, which horses market support has recently appeared to contract in terms of their chances of winning races at Cheltenham. So on the Tuesday at Cheltenham, we have the Champion Hurdle, obviously, which is, you know, dominated by the fact that Constitution Hill is unbeaten under rules, turned up at Christmas at Kempton and won very well. 6-5 on, Brighter Days Ahead and Lossy Mouth 5-1, State Man 11-1, and Anzadam, a horse that won a Ferry House in November, is only 5 years of age, has had very little racing. He's a 12-1 shot. You just hope that Brighter Days Ahead turns up, Johnny, and I do think that if there's a strong gallop in the Champion Hurdle, it will definitely suit her. State Man, I'm very negative on, I have to say.
Yeah, I was going to put up State Man actually just as a price based thing. I suppose the first thing to note here is William Hill has a non-runner no bet market on this race, and all the championship races it also has a conventional market, which is really, you know, the best thing a bookmaker can do. So you can decide, like, William Hill is not the best price on State Man. There is a bit of 11-1 around, but it's 7-1 non-runner no bet. I was trying to get Eddie O'Leary to come on the show today, JD, because I know that there's a lot going on with the mayor, and he basically said, I don't really want to talk about a race I'm not really sure what's going to happen in. So I do think there was a bit of doubt over. I get the impression that she wouldn't be a certainty maybe to run at Leopardstown. She might be kept fresh for Cheltenham, but we'll see. Again, that's all up in the air. My base for putting up State Man is that I would be really surprised if Constitution Hill, Lossy Mouth and Brighter Days Ahead all ran for various reasons that are not interlinked, pretty much. Constitution Hill has run very, very little since he was a senior hurdler, and I wasn't amazed by him in the fighting fifth. I thought he was good, but I didn't think it was scintillator or anything like that. And that's, well, you might say that. I mean, he hasn't
run the Christmas hurdle at Kempton.
The Christmas hurdle at Kempton. So given the context of last season when you didn't run the champion hurdle, it was a very good comeback, but it didn't blow me away. And I wouldn't be certain. I mean, we've had so many updates about him. March is still, we're over 2 months away. I wouldn't be certain he'll run. Lassie Mouths, for me, if the big guns are gone, she'll probably swerve it. At least that's what I'm thinking. I feel if the big ones are gone there, she might go down the mare's hurdle route.
Or but, even the stairs hurdle route, you never know.
Or the stairs hurdle route, which...
But I think it's quite an open market. Eh? Like, Tiopu, I think, needs soft ground.
Yeah, and obviously Tiopu, there's a slight question mark over now. And could Ballyburn go down that route?
Yes.
You know, that's very interesting. William Hill has an interesting market on that as well. Brighter days ahead. I mean, it wouldn't even be in my debate what race I would go for if I owned her. But I do feel that just from talking to Eddie O'Leary, you know, he sourced the horse, but you know, on the basis of her looks and all of that, he loved her from the start. And I do feel that they're almost they are thinking a little bit of the future.
She's still very young.
She's very young. Gordon wants to run in this race, Gordon Elliott. Maybe if they're thinking of the future, the mayor's race might be an easier option. And Eddie O'Leary did say this to me, like, when I asked him, what's her optimum trip? And it's probably not 2 miles, to be fair. Like, it is, I'd say she would be better over further. So all these things come into consideration. And Zidane comes into it as well. But I put forward Stateman, because just on the basis of his price. Now, I have to assume that he just had an off day at Leopardstown.
He's had two off days. Well, you can say that he could come back and win normally.
Yeah, but that wasn't, like, when you look at it, he was beaten, you know, a length by Brighter Days Ahead, who was raised fifth. That might look like very good form and time on his comeback. Now, Leopardstown, sometimes when races are run like that, where two fit horses go off hard. Now, it's not that he wasn't fit, but he was kept in his comfort zone by Paul Townend.
You saw what Solness in the chase, that the others couldn't really catch up with Solness.
Like, maybe it was just a bit of a mad race.
You've had those races before.
Yeah, I did a bit of digging in terms of, like, how he's been since Leopardstown, and there's no negative at all. Now,
okay.
I'm not saying, obviously he's unlikely to win, but at 11-1, you're getting 11-5 that he finishes. This is the best price available. 11-5 finishes the first three. He's not going to run any other race. It's simple as that. So, Stateman, who was obviously a short price in the race last year and was a relatively short price behind Constitution Hill, I'm putting him forward each way, and it has to be each way.
Okay, the champion chase on Wednesday, Jean Bon 9-4, Gaelic Warrior 9-2, and Urgeman 5-1. El Fabiolo 12s.
Never asked you, sorry. Who do you like in the champion hurdle?
Constitution Hill.
Yeah.
Just keep it simple.
I'd back him non-run no better weight. I'd be too worried.
It's not really even a betting race for me. What I want to see the champion hurdle more than anything else is top horses against each other. I don't want to see. It's not the trainers or the owner's fault that you have the mayor's hurdle. It's Cheltenham's fault. They've got too many races.
100%.
And they need the old way where you had the mayor with the allowance is much better.
Yeah.
The champion chase, as I said, Jean Bon 9-4, Gaelic Warrior 9-2, and Urgeman 5-1, El Fabiolo 12s, Ile Francais 16s, Marine National 20, Solness Banbridge 25-1. Jean Bon is 9 now. I think he deserves it. And Urgeman is 11. How much ability does he retain? Is there a young pretender? The obvious one is Gaelic Warrior, if he can come on from Leopardstown at Christmas. He won the Arkle very impressively last year. You'd always think, oh, this is a horse that has to go right-handed, but he had horses in front of him last year, which helped.
Yeah, and El Fabiolo as well, who was...
No, can't have him, can't jump.
What was he, like 2-9 in the race last year or whatever? It's kind of mad.
A lot of money for him in the week for the longer distance race, the Ryanair Chase.
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah, because again, the Ryanair... This race is weird. It's probably the most... the longest price favourite of the top four races, Jean Bon, who's obviously, I suppose you consider him a little bit of a bridesmaid, even though he obviously wins more races than he doesn't. I find this difficult because Gaelic Warrior could be a very backable price on the basis of what he did last year, but I still do really worry for him. Like last year he got away with it, but this is a better race and he does go out to his right. I thought he was disappointed at Leopardstown, to be honest, JD. You know, I felt... Maybe you could give him the benefit of the doubt, but he was beaten a long, long way out. If I were to have a bet now, I'd probably, and you might laugh me here, probably back Marine National each way.
Yeah, no, I understand. Spring horse.
Yeah,
that's what I've been thinking about that horse. Good ground, spring horse. Hasn't really developed from yet, but I don't think he's done.
Yeah, and he's been good at Cheltenham. I'd probably again back him non-run no bet because the prospect of maybe heavy ground coming up would be...
Good ground.
Good ground, good to soft the old Cheltenham.
An Urgeman? You just don't know. He won the hilly way.
Yeah, nicely. Obviously
the Banbridge.
The form was boosted. I felt he was good that day, and the market was uneasy about him. I think he went off evens odds again, so it was almost as though they suggested he would come on for the run. I certainly wouldn't be ruling him out. Banbridge, you'd imagine, will go for the Ryanair. If he doesn't, again, he wouldn't be without a chance at decent ground, but it's a tricky one at the moment. Marine National, he's still quite lightly raced, and I thought his run in Leopardstown wasn't too bad.
So Thursday, the Stairs Hurdle, we mentioned Tiopu 13-8. I do believe he needs soft ground beaten in the Hatton's Grace. Home by the Lee, 10-1, Ballyburn 12, Salver 14s. You can get 16-1 about a load of horses, Lassie Mouth, Corbett's Cross, Kitzbühel, Crambo and Lucky Place, and then Hidden Valley Lake and the Wall Park 20-1. Dancing City, a little bit of money for him this week, 33-1, probably going over fences, but if he was rerouted to hurdles, he'd be interesting. I like this because I think it's open. I actually don't, I'd be wanting to be taken on a favourite here, but with which horse, yeah, I suppose you need to see on the day. But right now, Dancing City is interesting, and I suppose who's going to definitely turn up here? Home by the Lee will definitely turn up. Interesting that JJ Slevin said after the win at Leopardstown that he didn't think he needs to ride the horse differently at Cheltenham, but maybe he's just not a Cheltenham horse. But I just think this could be a race for an upset.
Well, Home by the Lee was a 2 years ago ran an absolutely extraordinary race in this, where I was almost certain he'd be pulled up after making a terrible mistake midway through the race, and he really wasn't beaten that far. And I was thinking, you know, this horse is going to be a cracking stayer going forward. Last season was a write-off for him, and then this season he's been exceptional. So he's has me completely confounded. Couldn't back Tiopu up with that price. I mean, he was good in the race last year, but as you say, he's probably better on soft ground. I'm not sure he's entirely reliant on it, but it's way too short at this stage. I actually could see Ballyburn coming up here. I really could, because the options that Willie Mullins has in the race are just quite limited. Ballyburn is put in at
12 to 1,
and just looking, I think William Hill, the last I looked, was 3-1 non-runner, no bet. Yeah, 3-1. You know, that's probably tight enough in the sense that he was disappointing at Kempton, but, you know, his jumping was pretty poor that day. And with the options of him going back over fences, he is quite interesting for me, but probably back Home by the Lee and maybe chance him at the prices at the moment, Ballyburn in a Dutch bet, but it's tricky.
Gold Cup on Friday at Cheltenham this year, the 14th of March. Got up on the chance 11-10. Very few entries, by the way. Factor File 4s, Jerry Colomb 14-1. Banbridge 16s, Monty Starr 20-1. Grey Dawning 25-1. I'll give you 125-1. Eli Francais, Embassy Gardens, Corbett's Cross, Lampresse 33s. Gentlemen's Game 40s. Another way you're thinking 50s. Gallopin, is he actually value at odds against?
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
back him on the day.
I'd say on the day he was not going to change that much, and it was the same last year. And
who's the alternative? Is there any alternative you like in the race?
Yeah, like Factor File is like it's an odd thing what's happened now that JP McManus has not put in Spillane's Tower, and I know the way you're thinking. By all accounts, not only is he not going to run in this, but he's not going to run in the Grand National, which I'm baffled by. I think he will run it in the Dublin Racing Festival, but they seem to be thinking of the long term for him. Gavin Cromwell, this might work out well, but he seems to be thinking whatever he does this year, he's not ready for all these tests. But the Grand National's a weird race. Like,
it's
a glorified hurdle race. So I'm like, that I don't really get. The Gold Cup I get. The Gold Cup's an exceptional 22 fences, an extremely tough jumping test, and his jumping's always been a bit iffy. Anyway, he doesn't go. So that leaves from the McManus camp. Again, I'm not entirely sure Corbett's Cross will run in this, but he's there. And obviously, Factor File, who was beaten, what, 7 lengths by Gallopin Deschamps at Leopardstown, but that was his second run as a senior chaser. He's still very interesting. Jerry Colom seems to be showing a bit more spark, but he can beat Gallopin Deschamps on all-known form. And it's strange, JD. Like, the race looks like it was a race for the ages after the John Durkin. And as you say, I mean, there aren't that many horses left in it. I'm not overly inspired by it at the moment. I've no real inclination to have a bet.
Okay.
Monty Starr,
consistent, but maybe not top class.
Well, I was a bit disappointed in Wexford, but Henry de Bromhead's horses have been, maybe since the new year, have been quiet. Certainly at Nace they were, anyway, very quiet. So maybe he's better than that. And he's, you know, he's trained by an absolute master for the race. He jumps very well. I could definitely see him finishing the first three. The one thing I'd worry about Gallopin Deschamps, he's had so many hard races at the top level and presumably will go back to the Dublin Racing Festival. He's trained for all these good races. I would not be backing him at the price, to be honest. But again, I don't have anything particularly solid against him.
I was looking on the other races then during the week. On the Tuesday, where the money is going, so in the Supreme Novices Hurdle.
Well, this was interesting because it was 10 to 1 the field only a few days ago.
Salvatore Mundi is going to turn up at Punchestown. Is it? Yeah, on Sunday in the Moscow Flyer Novice Hurdle. Only 6th in the Triumph Hurdle last year and being backed into favouritism for the Supreme Novices Hurdle. I can't have that. I don't like
the
horses.
It's the Sergino form. It's going back to that French one. It's mad, I mean, I don't know. Was the money in the sense that he has entered on Sunday, obviously, but Romeo Coolio, for me, if he were to go here, is a far more solid option.
Yes, yeah. Work ahead as well, bit of money for that. Came from the point-to-point ranks. Henry de Bromhead trains. Half-brother de Bron won well at Leperstown at Christmas at a price. Arkle Chase on the Tuesday. Sergino odds on. Marshbird, though, could give Sergino something to think about. The Mare's Hurdle, Cara Jeezy, will need to settle. She hasn't run since May. She's never run over 2.5, but I think she's very talented. And July Flower won well at Leperstown at Christmas, a good jumper, a nice winner of a Mare's Hurdle there in the Dublin track. And that was her first run of the season for Henry de Bromhead. That's what's going on the Tuesday.
Yeah, I'd probably have Marjorie at the prices. And with the changing of the race at Cheltenham, it's very hard to see him running anything else. And at that sort of price each way, if you could get sort of non-running or best, just looking at it here now. So William Hill is... if I can't find the William Hill non-runner bet odds, but you know, just in case something were to happen to the favourite, I've actually mixed it up here. I have a double coming up, so I will get those odds up. But Sergino is extraordinary at Kempton. I do feel Ballyburn is a bit disappointing, but Mars has been exceptionally good for me so far. JD, I'd be with him at the prices. Probably a race that'll cut up a bit, even though there isn't the turners now as are the conventional turners.
Yes.
In Atlantique, I'd definitely be keeping an eye on the weather for him. If the ground came up heavy, he'd have a chance.
Right.
Sergino's been exceptional.
Yeah, well, Sergino is an airplane. On the Wednesday, money for the new line and the Turner's Novice Hurdle. I can't have this horse because he hasn't faced any of the top Irish horses, one at Newbury. The Brown Advisory Novices Chase, bit of money for Django Bay Group, Grade 1 winning hurdler who won his Novice Chase at Cheltenham in December in a good time. The Cross Country Chase, Sweet Davis, a French-trained horse, won the Cross Country race in November, has been supported. In the bumper, Future Prospect, a very taking performance at Ferry House for Eddie Mullins, cost 150 grand after winning her point, could be his best bumper horse. Fortune de Mer was a nice winner of a bumper for the Skelton Stable at the course in November. And Raven Dark is an unraced Jigginstown House stud with Gordon Elliott. But of all the other Wednesday horses, Django Bay was the most impressive for me when I was looking back at the tapes. Thought he ran really well at Cheltenham in December. I think he's a natural chaser, Django Bay, for Nicky Henderson.
Yeah, he's definitely a good horse, an impressive horse. The new line changed JP McManus was an interesting story because the owner actually backed the Frankie Dettori 7-timer. I think he'd like
these. Did he?
If you read one of the tabloids, he's last 62 quid on it. I think he was playing a game of football that day. I forget his name now, but he put 62 quid on them, like probably the luckiest bet anyone has ever had ever to go through a card. And he won that money and he's had great fun in the game. But this horse has switched JP McManus and Paul Byrne, who was a former work colleague of great fella Paul. I think he referenced him 5 times in an article as to why he's moved to JP McManus. And Paul seems to be getting very close to JP McManus in that camp now. And the new line has gone to JP McManus. But as you say, JD, it's...
No,
I've seen the English horse at this point in this race before. The Yellow Clay for me isn't getting the credit he deserves for an ace either.
Not the luckiest bet I ever remember. Agnes Haddock was the name, the lady's name who won, I think, the Scoop Six or the TV bet with Channel 4, and she picked just the names.
Yeah,
she picked the names. I even remember the names. Simon was one of them, and Haggle Twins, and she won, I think, $500,000.
If you pick a lot of numbers, sometimes they'll come up. But that was interesting, and you know, hopefully he got a good few quid from him because he's worth plenty of money. He's unbeaten. He's very promising. The Brown Advisory, the Jukebox Man, looks a lovely, lovely horse. We do have some good British stares. Where Imperial Passe goes will be interesting because obviously that intermediate race isn't there anymore unless you want to go handicapping.
The Thursday, the other races where there's money, Jubilee Alpha and the Mare's Novice Hurdle, trained by Paul Nichols. Charisma is an unraced horse for Nicky Henderson, owned by JP McManus. The Ryanair Chase Al Fabiolo has yet to race this season. Jungle Boogie is a fragile horse, but could go in this run. And JPR1 has never raced over the distance. But Spillane's Tower, I suppose, is the story. That it's the only race he's been declared for at Cheltenham, the Jimmy Mangan horse. They're keeping him for next season, I think, I would say.
Yeah, I suppose he was disappointing at Kempton. And It's a different ball game stepping up from novice company into especially the race to King George. As you said yourself, it's a real proper test. The Ryanair Chase this year, Banbridge will probably be favourite on the day, but like Spillane's Tower for me, he's still very, very interesting going forward, particularly if there is a bit of an ease in the ground, which I think he might like. We've spoken a bit about the Stairs Hurdle. I mean, that mare's novice race, again, should never be at Cheltenham. Maureen, she could be anything sort of going forward. It's not a race that floats my boat at all at this stage, but I do feel that that Spillane's Tower, you know exactly what his target is. He still has lots of ability, that horse. And let's not forget how good he was, albeit in defeat in the John Durkin. But Thursday, it's not the most inspiring
day. No, this
day
is the day when the UK always win about six of the races and get back on the board. The Friday, the other races that we received a bit of money for this week, the Triumph Hurdle, Lou Lamba is a unraced horse outside of France in the Donnelly colours. Saint Lucie is a Rich Ritchie horse, won a Punchestown. William Mullins was impressed. She's got a high cruising speed. The Mare's Chase, only by an Irish, Gavin Cromwell, had the winner last year. She's won races to Tipperary and Cork this season. She's a good jumper. The Stain Hurdle, the Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle. Sans Victorious was fourth in the bumper last year. Could be right up a street. May want cut in the ground. A little bit of money for him. Cocktail Divan also is in there with I Am Lorenzo, who was second at Leopardstown at Christmas. Both of them actually were second, Cocktail Divan and the Manila Indo Connections. And the Hunter's Chase, Time Leader, was third in the race last year. Maybe better and better ground, a bit of money for him as well. So all the horses I've given folks are the horses that have been attracting support in the first week of 2025 as we look forward to Cheltenham.
Yeah, the Triumph Hurdle I do find is really interesting. I've backed, I think my only Cheltenham bet so far was Hello Neighbour when I knew he was going hurdling. But East India Dock was very impressive. I wouldn't mind having backed him as well. Very impressive. He's a half brother to Burdett Road, and he was exceptional at Cheltenham the last day. For a stayer on the flat, he travelled extremely well. He just looked a winner a long way out. I was tipping him up here on the Friday. He went off odds on, having been 5-2 the day before. So he's clearly liked. But I do feel Hello Neighbour be very hard to keep out of the frame there for all that. Obviously, he just held on at Cheltenham, and some interesting handicaps as well. The Mare's Chase was fascinating last year. That massive swing in the market in terms of the two McManus runners. I know Willie Mullins wasn't overly happy with the ride that Dino Blue got on the day. He told us that afterwards at a press morning. And then onto the Gold Cup we've spoken about, but the big Westerner I should mention, the Albert Bartlett,
yes,
really, really good so far.
Limerick at Christmas,
really good, like exceptional performance for a lightly raced horse. We'll have other options, but the Yellow Clay makes the market there. I don't think he's going to run that race.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at the big races at Ferry House on Saturday and at Punchestown on Sunday, and Johnny's charity bet as well, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.